And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'll go to the phones real quick. Brian from Huntsville's on line one. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing okay, and I thought I'd mention something that back when I, decades ago, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we had a ceremony, and we would invite people from churches to bring their old flags that were tattered, battered, and it's a ceremony, the right way to burn a flag.
Yeah.
We'd stand at attention, we would burn the flag to ashes, we would say a prayer, and then we would actually bury those ashes to retire that flag.
That's the way it's supposed to be, man. I used to be a member of an organization called the Patriots Association in Etowah County, and they actually have a flag bin. You could actually drop off your tattered old flags into a special bin to be picked up by the Boy Scouts for that very reason. Good stuff, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, buddy. See you. All right, listen, we're gonna jump into this first dipper. Big Red, get that audio clip ready, man. I'm going to be using that in just a minute. It's a long one. We're going to have to walk through it a little bit. Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to a joint session of Congress on Wednesday, and it was an outstanding speech. It was also one of those that it was just inspiring. You may have heard me talk about it on Wednesday because I actually watched it right before I went on the air, and I couldn't help but think, oh, God, that's... Wow. How nice it must be to have someone at the helm who sounds and looks like a leader, right? But article here I've got from New York Post points out that when he spoke, he got 50 standing ovations. Some were joint, but some were just Republicans. He like meticulously explained why the protests inside the United States in the wake of the war in Gaza serve nobody's interest except for Hamas and Iran. That's all they serve is Hamas and Iran. He said, my friends, if you remember nothing else from this speech, remember this. Our enemies are your enemies. Our fight is your fight, and our victory will be your victory. It's also pretty interesting. I'll throw this in as an aside. You know, the little liberal skulls full of mush who like to protest on campuses and block streets and burn flags and do all the things and talk about from the river to the sea, they often refer to Israel as a nation of white privilege, a colonial oppressor. In his speech the other day, Netanyahu talked about a few of the heroes of Israel's war. An Ethiopian Jew, a Bedouin Arab, and two other amputees, one of whom is about to return to active duty to command a tank battalion after his amputation. And what he also kind of did by doing that was elaborate on the fact that we're looking at an extremely diverse state. Israel's almost every bit as diverse as the United States is. And don't think for a second that it's just, you know, they all look the same. It's a homogenous society. It's not. And he even said this, though, too. Don't they know that Israel is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed, where Jeremiah and Isaiah preached, and where David and Solomon ruled? Israel, he said, has always been our home, and it will always be our home. But in the course of his speech, he called out something that I don't know how I missed it, maybe because it was all the stuff with Biden, but if I missed it, then I'm assuming somebody else did too. I thought it was worth bringing up today. The fact that these protesters at these college campuses and around the nation, burning the American flag, defacing our monuments, and doing the things that they're doing, calling death to America right here on U.S. soil, that these protesters are being funded by Iran. I'm like, what? That's a pretty lofty thing to say, but it's not like I saw it on Twitter. It was the prime minister of Israel saying this. And then I went back and did some study. And I find that just the week prior, maybe 10 days prior, that the U.S. Director of National Intelligence had made statements to Congress saying that actors tied to Iran's government have been opportunistically co-opting these anti-Israel protests and supporting them and financing them. That's our U.S. Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. She said in the first of what she would be consistent threat updates about Iran, that Iran is becoming increasingly aggressive in their foreign influence efforts. Now that's a whole different level. It's one thing for me to see skulls full of mush who think it's cool to get out there and do their TikTok videos while they're going to burn a flag and miss class and then demand that somebody give them like a B for not showing up in class because, you know, like it's my free speech, right? Like, and I'm thinking, okay, it's beyond that. It's way beyond that. There are formal efforts ongoing by a foreign government who has not got our best interest at heart. Now, I want to play a portion of his speech. You got that clip ready, bud? I'm gonna have to pause you at times, man, as we talk through, because it's a little bit longer than I would normally play, but it's worthy. This is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at this week's joint session of Congress. Here you go.
We recently learned from the National Security Director of National Intelligence, that Iran is funding and promoting anti-Israel protests in America. They want to disrupt America. So these protesters burn American flags even on the 4th of July. And I wish to salute the fraternity brothers at the University of North Carolina who protected the American flag against these anti-Israel protesters.
Let's stop there a second. I think it's worth noting here, those are congressmen yelling USA. As polarized as our politics are, you've got a large swath of Congress on its feet, cheering loudly because of the recognition given to a group of kids who stopped the US flag from being burned. A foreign head of state is speaking to a joint session of Congress, lauding those kids who saved the American flag on a college campus, and Congress came to its feet and began shouting USA. Go ahead.
For all we know, Iran is funding the anti-Israel protests that are going on right now outside this building. Not that many, but they're there and throughout the city. Well, I have a message for these protesters. When the tyrants of Tehran, who hang gays from cranes and murder women for not covering their hair, are praising, promoting, and funding you, you have officially become Iran's useful idiots.
That is an epic line. That you can keep playing. That is an epic line right there. That is a worthy statesman's line. And boy, he got a reaction from it. Good stuff, man. All right, keep it playing. Keep playing. Wait, no, stop a second.
Go ahead, stop a second.
You know what? I got to say this. I think that there are members of Congress who are hungry to have an executive stand in their midst and speak like that. You know what? I think there were. Listen to their reactions. I mean, it's like you think you and I are tired of hearing Biden whisper into a microphone and look like he's falling asleep? Or Kamala cackling? Listen. There are members of Congress who went to D.C. filled with idealism about who we are as a nation that are just as sick of it as you and I are. And the fact that they're responding that way to a forceful presentation by a head of state who is bragging on America and proud of his own country, yeah, apparently it did him well. Go ahead and keep playing.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Some of these protesters hold up signs proclaiming gays for Gaza. They might as well hold up signs saying chickens for KFC.
He's just having a good time now.
These protesters chant from the river to the sea, but many don't have a clue what river and what sea they're talking about. They not only get an F in geography, they get an F in history. They call Israel a colonialist state? Don't they know that the land of Israel is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed, where Isaiah and Jeremiah preached, and where David and Solomon ruled.
All right, listen, that was an amazing speech. I mean, the whole thing is worth going back and watching again, just to enjoy it, just to enjoy seeing it happen right there on the dais in Congress. And yes, there were Democrats who didn't get to their feet, one of whom was Raphael Warnock, who from Georgia, who I don't think got to his feet even once. But you look at it and go, dang, that's the way it should be. Useful idiots, he called them. Well, they are. They are tools of Iran right now. Now, we're going to take a break momentarily, but when we get back from this break, I got to tell you, it's not just free speech, all right? There's a destruction of property, and there's a premise behind it that needs to be addressed. We'll cover down on that and all of it more. And coming up top of the hour, Congressman Dale Strong, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. So I'm watching right now, by the way, on the big screen in the studio, the one that we have on Fox is saying that there are 19 people that were arrested at the protest in Washington, D.C., in which so much vandalism and graffiti and all of it was done. That there are 8 of those still pending charges. 11 of them have had all charges dropped. What? Now, if they were innocent, okay. But I suspect, and maybe I'm jaded, but I suspect that basically they had all charges dropped because they're in one of the most liberal soft on crime environments you could ever hope for. Story here, Times of Israel was confirming what thehill.com in the U.S. had already reported that I had a little while ago. It says the White House, this is on July 10th, the White House accused Tehran on Tuesday of trying to take advantage of a wave of anti-Israel protests and described such behavior as unacceptable, following warnings by top U.S. intelligence officials that Iran was trying to stoke discord in American society. So White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre said that freedom of expression was vital to American democracy, but the government also had a duty to warn citizens about foreign influence operations. So what's basically happening is Iran is conducting psyops on America and helping stoke these anti-American protests. Here's a quote from Avril Haines, who is the director of national intelligence. Said, quote, with regards to Iran, quote, they continue to adapt their cyber and influence activities using social media platforms and issuing threats. It's likely they'll continue to rely on their intel services in these efforts, as well as Iran-based online influencers to promote their narratives. And then, of course, there's also the thing about they appear to be funding the actual protests. That's just unbelievable. Back in 1989, got a piece here from Constitution Center. Back in 1989, the Supreme Court of the United States decided that burning flags was constitutionally protected. Now, I think the text we had earlier nailed it, that there are times when burning a flag is still illegal because of whose flag it was or where you got it or what you had to do to get it. So if you're going to break into somebody's house, steal the flag that's in a folded case on their shelf, take it out in the yard and burn it, doesn't work that way. You bring your own flag to a protest, apparently you're allowed to burn it. But in 1989, the Supreme Court dealt with a case called Texas versus Johnson, or Johnson. In this particular case, a guy named Gregory Lee Johnson had burned a flag at a protest. Congress had already passed a law at the time that said burning the flag was not protected speech, and that it was punishable under the law. The Supreme Court of the United States, though, with Justice William Brennan writing the majority, it was a split decision, by the way, split decision. Texas v. Johnson, 5-4, very narrow case, a very narrow majority, ruled that this was considered to be symbolic speech, political in nature, expressed even at the expense of our national symbol and to the affront of those who disagreed, that it was protected, basically. Justice Brennan wrote, the state's interest in preserving the flag as a symbol of nationhood and national unity does not justify criminal conviction for engaging in political expression. Okay. I will tell you this. It was a hard pill to swallow, even for some of those who voted. I mean, listen, one of my heroes on the court, Justice Scalia, he agreed. Now, not everybody agreed. The dissent was pretty strong. The Chief Justice at the time was William Rehnquist. He dissented. He said, quote, "The flag is not simply another idea or point of view competing for recognition in the marketplace of ideas. I cannot agree that the First Amendment invalidates this act of Congress and the laws of 48 of the 50 states that make it criminal to burn the, for the public burning of the flag." So it divides our society. It does. But the context, and when we look at this, I'm just saying, what we saw in D.C. this week, it was not protected speech. Had they, like I said, brought their own flag or one of their effigy flags or something to, you know, and what can we say? I mean, you're burning your own stuff. That apparently is protected. Now, I would also hesitate to ever say that you're allowed to set fires in the public square, right? Or that you're there on a non-sanctioned protest to rip a flag down off of a government flagpole and then replace it with the flag of another nation. I don't see that being lawful. And then certainly we take it into account that they were fighting with police and spray painting graffiti over everything in the area. I would say no. I think in that context, flag burning fell into vandalism and, you know, crimes against America. The GOP has had enough of it. For the umpteenth time, there is now a resolution being introduced, or a bill being introduced, by Senator Tom Cotton. Cotton's got a bill right now that would say that if you are here on an immigration visa and that you demonstrate against the United States, that it would strip you of your visa if you are convicted of crimes in the course of doing so. In other words, you get out there and protest and then you're convicted of a crime. Guess what? You don't get to stay. You get to go back to wherever you came from because we don't want you. Why would we give someone citizenship or allow them to stay here as a visitor if they're going to tear stuff up and be convicted for doing so? This would go to people who are blocking highways, roads, bridges, and tunnels. It would also deal with the defacing of monuments and vandalizing things. And then he says, the Biden administration's inaction against the pro-Hamas mobs has only emboldened these extremists. Yes, I would agree. Well, listen, coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Congressman Dale Strong. I was pretty stoked when I saw that a group of congressmen got together and said, you know what, by God, it's not going to go like that. They said that they had had enough of it. And so a group of congressmen, many of whom were veterans, two of whom were from Alabama, got new flags and went down to Union Square along with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Story's on 1819 News right now if you want to see it. Congressman Jerry Carl from the Mobile area and Dale Strong from the Huntsville area were two of the members who went down there. I think there were, was it like 18 of them? Went down there and rehung the American flag in front of Union Station. Congressman Strong's own words were, they took our flags down today and put Hamas flags up at Union Station. We're not putting up with it. Well, okay, bottom line is, I'm thankful, and that's the way it should be. I'd like to see a little bit more indignation from members of Congress on a regular basis. All right, you guys, stay tuned. Come right back. Congressman Dale Strong, Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm still in dipper number one. I called this whole thing Iran's useful idiots. The amount of destruction that was done in D.C. is it's not the first. Unfortunately, it probably won't be the last. But you know what? We don't have to keep putting up with it. There are means by which Congress can take action, states, local can take action. And certainly the enforcement of existing laws ought to be something that's not even a question. But in D.C., apparently that's still a question. As charges are being dismissed, even as I speak right now, against protesters and vandals from this week's, you know, near riot in Washington, D.C. Well, listen, no better way to cap off this discussion than to bring in somebody who serves our listening area quite well and has also got firsthand experience being in the midst of everything up there. That's Congressman Dale Strong, who's a former first responder and chair of the county commission in Madison County, and now he serves in the congressional delegation from Alabama. Congressman Strong, how you doing?
Well, I tell you, it's great to be back home. Each week in Washington, D.C. is crazier than the week before. But I think the American people saw it this week and what happened at Union Station, no doubt. I know that you're well aware of it.
Absolutely. And I'm going to want to get your take on that. But I tell you what, first, let me ask you this. You were, I'm sure, in the joint session of Congress in which Netanyahu spoke and even addressed the damage being done and how it's happening. What was it like hearing his speech, and what was it like being present for 50 standing ovations?
Well, it was great to see a leader standing up before Congress. That's what we saw. Netanyahu is defending his people, stood up with a great speech to say, we're not going to take it anymore. While the United States under this administration is just taking whatever any country wants to throw on us. But I had the opportunity to go to Israel and meet with Netanyahu there, then met with him when he was in D.C. But I'm telling you, when you want to look at what a leader looks like, that's exactly what I saw, and he is defending his people and defending his country.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I made that comment. I'm not sure if you heard it earlier, but it just his presence is different. What a great thing to actually hear a leader speak forcefully and with passion and with an assertiveness that we've not heard in the last few years.
We hadn't seen it, and let me tell you something. That's why the world's on fire at every corner right now, is because of the lack of leadership at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And so if you want to change this, if you're tired of what you're seeing in America, one of the best ways to do it is to commit to go out and vote and say enough is enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, in the course of his speech, he addressed the fact that apparently the malign nation of Iran, which, you know, doesn't care a thing about us, just wants our money when it can get it from the Biden administration. But they're the ones actually helping foment and fund some of these protest actions that we're seeing around the nation. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you look at it. During the Trump administration, Iran was put out of business. The way that they make their money is through selling energy, selling oil. And this administration had rather buy oil from other countries, from Hugo Chavez and whoever, rather than pumping it here in America. But that's the only reason Iran has money to fund this kind of foolishness in America. But then you look at these people that are lighting the American flag up, using accelerants to do it. The D.C. police failed in that position. There's obviously laws on the books right now of setting a fire, something in a town square, then putting gas or an accelerant on it. But they're lacking to know what to do and how to charge them. And I will tell you, I was proud of some of their response. They know how to use that PR-24, and if people wonder what that is, that's that baton that they carry. These folks came to fight. They came to protest, but they came to fight. And if you could only see the damage, media is not showing it. Just like they protected Joe Biden, they've covered him up for two solid years. But I'm telling you right now, the laws are on the books, but get ready. We started trying to see what we could do to put one together related to burning an American flag. And again, I'm going to support Tom Cotton, but I've also already agreed to co-sponsor Steve Womack out of Arkansas. But this right here would make it a felony to burn a United States flag. And if you do it, the penalty is what we've got to do. Be sure that you're penalized. And hey, let's put them in jail if they do it. This is the American flag. And you think about the folks that I went over there with the other night, really late, to put those three flags back up. It put a tear in my eye. You think about it. I had three or four Navy SEALs with me that offered their life up for America. And to see where they burned those flags, it wasn't a small area. It was a large fire that they set down there. And that's the thing. They should have charged them with arson. They should have charged them for doing it. But this is where we're at in America. Pat them on the back and put them back out there again.
Well, let me ask you this. Give us your firsthand impressions of the damage you got down there. You told me briefly before we came on the air together, you know, how bad it was. For the benefit of our listeners, you were there right after it all happened. Tell us what you saw.
Well, you know, the security, Capitol Police tried to get us not to go over there. Number one, I was like, we're going. There might be some of them that back out, but we're going. We went, Jerry Carl had three flags in his office, said, go get them. I said, let's go put them up. And all of a sudden, it started with a group of about 6, 8, 10. Next thing you know, it was a lot larger group. But then all of a sudden, you get over there, and you're seeing bottles, all this plastic that had been burned in the fire. Shopping carts pushed everywhere. All of the landscape tore up. You had monuments there that had been painted on. And the further we went in there, the madder it made us. I mean, it's just a shame what is going on here in America. And to live in this country of the free, for these people to be allowed to do this is absolutely unacceptable. But what a lot of people also didn't see, Phil, you had a couple hundred that we were told that were arrested in the Cannon building, that were, you know, inside the offices there. I walked out of Cannon in the basement, and there was hundreds out there zip tied. But it doesn't matter if you arrest them and turn them loose, you know, 4 or 5 hours later. Don't take them to court to deal with it. And that's what we're dealing with, a bunch of folks in D.C. that, like you say, they condone it 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you guys got together. How many of you total were there, and how did it come about? Whose idea was it? How did y'all kind of rally each other up? Did you just kind of pick up bodies as you went, or did you all call each other and say, let's get together and meet you downstairs?
What'd
you
do? You know, it started. We had two voting sessions along with Netanyahu speaking, and all of a sudden it was two or three different thoughts that were there. But again, the big thing is it was 12 or 14 to just said, hey, enough's enough. And then, of course, you know, like you say, being told, well, you might not want to go down there. It's like, you know, you got to be kidding us, man. But we went down there, and when we were walking out, you know, Mike Johnson said, hey, where y'all going? I said, man, we're going to Union Station to put these flags back up. And all of a sudden he looked and he said, I'll meet you there in 5 minutes. And so that was pretty pretty unique in itself also, but you had a lot of folks there. I know Ronnie Jackson was down there with us, Morgan, Latrell, Jerry Carl, Mike Johnson showed up, Rudy Yockum, Mike Collins of Georgia, Beth Van Dane, but there was another 10 or 12 that showed up a little bit later. But the thing is I thought that was only appropriate because you only could take this for so long. And I think if the American people could only see the volume of damage that was done there, it would put it in perspective.
Yeah, and anybody who's ever been to Union Station or seen that area, it's beautiful, and it's one of those places where you feel like it's special just because of the way it looks, the way it feels, and the location, I look at it and think, okay, so the Supreme Court of the United States has said you're allowed to burn a flag, but you're not allowed to tear it down off of a pole and replace it with the flag of another nation, because there was actually a Palestinian flag on the pole too, wasn't there?
You know, when we got there, they were removed. All of what we knew is that there had been other flags put up. And I don't care if they put up a Canadian flag over there. I don't care. If it's not an American, it shouldn't be up there in my book. So when we saw that they had torn it down, and, you know, you looked at it, they're fighting in the bushes and everything else there. And then that crackpot that was up there with that spray paint, painting on that monument for, what, 20, 30 minutes? At some point, somebody should have clocked him and dropped him off of there. And I would hope that would be the thing. D.C. police would probably charge somebody with assault for removing that guy that was doing the painting. But that's just kind of what you see there. You wouldn't get away with it in Alabama.
No, you wouldn't. And, I mean, I'm mindful of that song that came out earlier, or was it last year, I guess, Try That in a Small Town. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't work that well. Wouldn't work that well at all.
I'll tell you, I thought that the Republican National Convention went well, and I hope that people see the difference in what's going on. But you look at Netanyahu, one of our greatest allies. Did you notice when he arrived in Washington, D.C., no president, no vice president, no secretary of state, nobody from the administration, and that's totally unacceptable.
No, it absolutely is. But, you know, he's down there right now having what amounts to a state visit with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, and he's probably having a better time doing that than he did meeting with Harris.
Well, they're accomplishing more at Mar-a-Lago than anybody could accomplish at the White House. But again, I believe that this little anomaly that Harris has gotten with a little bump here, that's going to run out in about 10 to 12, 14 days. And then the people of America are going to stare down what they've got to do. Here in Alabama, I think it's already decided, but some of these close states have got to understand. She's the most radical person to ever serve in the United States Senate. There's no attacks that she's not for. Just look through the process. She's trying to deny right now that she was over the southern border. And everybody with walking around sense knows that meeting in the White House, the president assigned her to take care of it, and she's never met with the people that are working there, nor the people that are leading the southern border. And that's why we've probably got between 10 and 15 million that have come into this country illegally. And let's put that on her back, because she does not know how to lead.
Fair enough. Congressman, listen, I know you're back in town, and we appreciate you making time for us today. But thank you, by the way, for being part of the group that went and hung those flags, because I think that's exactly the kind of thing that people want to see out of their elected leaders. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me on, and be sure everybody goes and votes.
Absolutely. All right. Congressman Dale Strong from the 5th District of Alabama hails from the Huntsville region. And what a great thing to see. It's not just that they rose to their feet and shouted USA when Benjamin Netanyahu gave them something to be proud of in his speech, but then they got mad because of what was being done just a few blocks away, and they decided to go do something about it. And some may look at it and go, well, it was a symbolism. Yeah, it was. It was symbolism. Burning the flag was symbolism, and guess what? Rehanging the flag was symbolism. And I'm just proud of the fact that it was actually Congressman who did it. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll catch up on some text messages and then head us towards the next dipper on a Friday. You guys stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back to Williams Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm going to jump on the phone there. Looks like he's calling in a little earlier. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm on my way home, basically, so I'm doing good. I haven't made it to Nashville yet, but I'm working on it.
Is today your actual Friday, or is today your Thursday?
Today's my actual Friday, and then tomorrow's my Saturday and Sunday, and then come back Sunday.
Okay.
Not enough time. It's like I told Big Rig, I'm 4 hours and a little over 4 hours from having 70 hours in this week.
Ooh, son. That's a lot of fried fish and miles right there. That's a lot of pickled eggs.
Yeah, I don't have either one of them. I got a burger today.
What do you think about all this flag burning and stuff?
You haven't talked about the biggest use for it. That'd be Joe Biden and his administration. I mean, he's been played by, he's the one that gave him all the money to do all these things and get money out for everything that they've done.
Wow. So, wow. Can you imagine if Netanyahu had said that about the president of the United States? But, I tell you what was interesting, though. I don't know if you probably didn't get a chance to hear the whole speech, but he actually basically bragged on Trump in his speech. And you got to know that just burned the Democrats at the time.
Yeah, well, not Netanyahu may not be able to say it yet, but Donald Trump can sure say it. You know, if you're talking about useful idiots, that's who he's running against, the biggest useful idiots in the world.
Well, it's just something to watch. So what are your thoughts about making it illegal to burn the flag?
I don't think it should be, but it's like I say, if you're tearing down, you're arsonist, you're tearing down other things and stuff. Yeah, the thing about it is, I'm afraid of getting the weeds. You know, say I got an American flag patch on my shirt and everything, and I burn my shirt or whatever. You know, so it's according on how far you go down that line. I don't want to see it ever done, and I'm opposed to it. But I think we got to treat that with the equality of everything else that they do. If I can go out and burn a Palestinian flag, I can burn this flag. Like I say, it has to be your own flag, and you can do with it whatever you want to, but as long as it's lawful.
Well, I think there's more to come on this. I think to some degree they overplayed their hand on this one, and they got a bunch of people ticked off. And it was more than just... Yeah. The powers that be at Harvard or Columbia didn't secure their own campus. This was Union Station, three blocks away from the Capitol. And I think this one might bring some repercussions.
Is if I go as a conservative to a protest and I burn some flags and everything, am I going to get arrested and have the same, everything thrown out against me and everything? I want equal justice.
Yeah.
If me and a liberal sitting there and we're burning flags and they get picked up and I get picked up and they get released and I get charged, there's going to be problems.
I would agree with that.
I don't know if you can sue the courts or not, but there needs to be a way to sue a court for basically taking away your constitutional rights.
Well, it wouldn't be suing the courts. You'd be suing the people who don't enforce the laws or for the disparate treatment of under the law. That's the thing. You sue the prosecutors and the local officials who would not enforce the laws or at least enforce them selectively. All right, hey, brother, be safe on the road. We got the music starts playing here in about 20 seconds, so we will talk at you soon.
Have a good one. Have a good weekend,
bud. All right, man, we'll see you. All right, I got a ton of text messages. I mean, like, I got to get caught up, dude. So we're going to do text messages. We get back and catch those up and then move into our next dipper, Hands Off Our Kids. That's what I'm saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.